Welcome to Pastor Talk. This is Pastor Tim here with Pastor Joe. Say hi, Joe.
Hey.
So this is the first episode of this podcast, and to describe a little bit of what we're thinking, why we're here, and why you're here, hopefully to listen to some great content, which may or may not happen, and we'll see in the next few minutes here. But the purpose of this podcast is really to give another outlet for us to talk, for us to describe what is going on in the church, in the sermons, and also to be able to answer some of your questions. So our vision is just to provide another outlet on top of our social media. We were doing devotionals last year, and those served a purpose for a time, and we've kind of stopped those except the marriage devotional. And we feel that shorter clips with us answering questions on social media, as well as this podcast, will hopefully give you a way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And if you didn't know, we do have a way for you to ask questions. You can go to lifepointaz.com/ask and fill out a form to give us questions that we can talk about in what we call the hour of power, which is an inside joke, but we talk about on Thursdays for about an hour. We talk about different things from theology to eschatology to soteriology and all the other ologies. And we are looking for a way to ask questions, answer your questions during that time, which we can then provide you answers for.
And you can ask the questions on the website.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So today we're talking about Angus Barbieri.
Who is that, Joe?
You don't know who Angus? Everybody knows who that is.
Is that from Angus Steakhouse?
It is not. It is the guy who holds the record for the longest fast.
Wow. Tell us about him, Joe.
382 days.
Wow. Is that our next fast at LifePoint?
Yep. You told me right before we started this that that's what you were starting today, I believe.
Yeah.
So hold Tim accountable. He said he was starting a 382 day fast. Keep in mind, he did lose... let me see. How much weight did he lose? I don't know.
You're not talking about me. You're talking about Angus Beef still. This Angus guy. Actually, I'm always starting this fast tomorrow. So tomorrow's my first day.
Oh, I found that he lost like 276 pounds.
Wow.
So Tim, you might not have that much to lose actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds very dangerous. So we're going to talk today about fasting, since we are in the time of fasting, and just some practical ways to fast, why we fast, things like that. And hopefully you're in the middle of a fast as we're talking about this. We started it on Sunday as a church. And so we passed out a handout on Sunday with the purposes of fasting. So we have that on our social media. We're not going to go through that. But one quote I found from John Piper says that Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. Christian fasting is not only the spontaneous effect of superior satisfaction in God, it is also a chosen weapon against every force in the world that would take that satisfaction away. So as we talk about the purpose of fasting and being in a fast now, not just doing it because it's just what we do in January, but the purpose of a fast is to really grow our hunger for God.
You know, I think that one thing that's really missing in our culture, because fasting kind of has gained popularity in our culture in recent years with intermittent fasting and all these different diets and even... in a way, the keto diets and the way that you lose weight in those. And so we talk about with fasting in a biblical sense, we have to first separate it from what the culture calls fasting, what the culture, why you would fast. Because for some of us that could stand to lose a few pounds, whenever the subject of fasting comes up, it's always in your mind, whether at the forefront or the back, that, well, I could use to lose a few pounds, you know? So,
yeah.
That's one thing that we have to separate it from when we talk about it in a Christian sense.
Exactly. And there's different ways to do a fast, and maybe you've never done one, still haven't done one. You know, you can do it differently. You can do it corporately like we're doing now as a church. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with a spouse. And the Bible talks about specific types of fast. So the partial fast is described in the book of Daniel for 3 weeks. Daniel, who was a prophet during the time in Israel, lived in exile and abstained only from delicacies like meat and wine. And we see that when people give up, you know, sweets, or they give up late night snacking, or they give up sugar, caffeine, types of food that you give up instead of a full fast. The second one is a complete fast, which means drinking only water and sometimes juice when fasting for an extended period of time. This could be juice fasts. It could be, you know, protein shakes, that kind of stuff to deny your desire for solid, chewable food. So depending on what kind you pick, you know, it's best not to pick a fast at random, to really be prayerful of why you're fasting and what God is leading you to do. Also to, you know, not just do something that sounds really good. Hey, I'm going to jump into a 30-day fast, even though I've never fasted before. But really to say, you know, what can I do both physically? What am I emotionally and spiritually ready for? And what is God calling me to do? Maybe that one thing that you know, that you can't go without caffeine for the day. You can't not have that late night snack, whatever it is. It might be smaller things like that, or it could be, you know, giving up meals. I'm personally giving up breakfast and lunch during the week and just focusing on dinner. And then there's a wide variety of what people are doing right now during this time.
You know, one thing that I find interesting when you look at biblical fasting is even when you talk about, you know, fasting from food completely nowadays, which lots of people look at and think, well, I could never do that for this or that reason. Or that would be so difficult. I don't know how I could do that for, you know, more than a couple meals. But when you look at the Bible, one thing that's interesting is most of the fasts that you see in the Bible, they're specific in that they say they did not drink food. I mean, drink water or eat food. Mm-hmm. So they were completely devoid of the of earthly sustenance. You can see this when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared to him, and then he went and stayed at the by himself, and he fasted for 3 days with no food and no water. We actually see it. Moses actually fasted 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. Mm. Now he was in the presence of the Lord, which is cheating a little bit, because I think for the rest of us who are not, you know, physically in the presence of the Lord, we would die if we went that long without water. You can't last very long without water. We know,
but God is always with us, Joe. The presence of the Holy Spirit is within inside each and every believer. Well, you mean the glory of the Lord on the mountaintop. Okay, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like when his face was shining so much.
Our faces
cover
don't shine.
His head because it was hurting them. Now, when Jesus did his fast for 40 days, it's actually not specific. It doesn't say whether or not he drank. So we don't know, but that would be the normal fast, and the normal kind of fasting length would be sundown on the first day and to sundown on the next day, which is how they counted days. So it would have been a 24-hour period without food, without water.
And it is important to drink water if you are not doing a no water fast. You know, if you are giving up solid food, make sure that you are drinking plenty of water. It does do a toll on your body if you are fasting in different ways. You know, you have the if you're giving up caffeine, Pastor Mike just went through this where, you know, first few days are really, really, really tough, and then it gets better. And so just be prepared for your body to kind of be like, hey, what's going on? I'm used to this at this time, and now I'm not having it. And, you know, to be prepared to persevere through it, to pray through it, to not just try to, you know, figure it out. All of these things too, you know, we always say, you know, consult a physician, which, you know, how many people are actually going to go to the doctor and ask them about fasting? But I think you do need to be aware of what physical limitations you have, and ask the doctor a question, do a teleconference if there is a concern, but don't just jump into things you think might be harmful for your body.
Yeah. And I'm not recommending to anybody that you do a fast without water. Lots of times in the Bible, when that happens, it was for a very specific purpose and something that was very immediate, that the need that they had.
Right.
And so I do not recommend that you do a fast where you have no water. Just to be clear, I was just pointing something out in the Bible.
Right. So when you're in the fast, during the fast, what kind of tips do we have, Joe, for when we're in the middle of the fast? What do you suggest?
As far as like how to get through it, I would say, I'd say my number one thing when you're fasting is to focus on prayer.
Yes.
You know, I had a period of time a couple of years ago at this point where God asked me to fast for 30 days from food. So I just had water for 30 days. And since then, I fasted several times. And one thing that I took away and that I would say to anybody is that it's better to fast from one meal and focus on prayer than fast for 30 days and live your life completely normally. Mm. It just completely defeats the purpose of drawing closer to God. You may be learning some good self-control skills. You may be learning, some willpower things. But as far as why you would fast biblically and it's to seek the Lord, to seek what he has for you, to, you know, to die to the flesh, to gain in the spiritual, I would say it'd be better to fast for one day and focus on prayer, you know, on your day off, a day you would normally devote to enjoyment, to something else. Take that day and dedicate it to prayer and fasting.
Yeah, I'd say too, you know, it's one of the things like, oh, 30 day be cool. I would be so spiritual, but that's not really the point. The point is whether it's one day or 30 days, the point is really to submit yourself from your desire for food so that you desire more of Christ. And you only do that if you actually spend time with him, if you, you know, seek God in prayer. And there's times that I've set aside for fast that may have only been a day and I realized I hadn't prayed that whole day. And you kind of feel bad. It's like, why then did I fast? So you have to combine the two with prayer and fasting together. So plan for that. You know, these 3 weeks, if you're doing this with us, will go by very fast. So if you're not planful about the time that you will set aside to focus on God, making sure you're taking breaks to listen to what the Bible's telling you, what God's telling you, write down, journal. Pastor Blake had a great message about journaling this past Sunday. So take time to write down what God is impressing upon you. Maybe he's going to give you a game plan for the rest of the year that you want to make sure you have that written down, because you will not remember 3-4 months from now what happened during your fast if God is revealing stuff to you.
And I think that I think pretty much everybody has said this to this point, but if you haven't seen the Tony Evans series on fasting, which is on Right Now Media, which is free to anybody that goes to Life Point Church, it's such an amazing perspective on fasting. And I think it's a 6-part series. And at least just go and watch the first two. He says himself that he repeats himself in 5 and 6 a lot. And you pretty much can get everything in 1 and 2. But go and watch the series on Right Now Media. It is very eye-opening. We're doing it in my small group at the moment. I know Blake recommended it on Sunday. Blake recommended it in his marriage devotional. I think Blake recommends it to everyone he meets on the street. So yeah. But it's really good. And it goes right to the core of why you would fast, how it's just a completely lost thing. You know, many Christians nowadays, you know, they may read their Bible every day, spend time with the Lord, go to church, serve, tell people about Jesus, and never have even thought about fasting. It's just completely a lost spiritual practice, and it shouldn't be. And there's so many reasons why.
Exactly. And once again, if you go to lifepointaz.com on our homepage, you can request access to Right Now Media. There's a ton of great resources on there. And we pay for that resource to give to you for free. So make sure you take advantage of it. Even if you just throw on, you know, a sermon, a teaching once, twice a week, I think it's a great practice for you to get involved in and see what's on there. And we've talked about this from stage, but I also want to just double back on it, is fasting from other things besides food. And it's important to think about what fasting actually is and the definition of it, which means to actually not eat food. That's the definition of the epistemology or etymology of the word, is to not put things in your mouth, not put food in your mouth. And so a lot of people take social media fasts. A lot of people fast from, I don't know, your spouse, from church, things you're not supposed to fast from. So what is our thoughts on fasting from things that's not food, Pastor Joe?
Well, I think that it's super good to take time away from things, especially things that are leading you down a path that is not of God, or that even is just distracting you from the Lord. I think everybody has social media in common. Maybe you just look at your phone way too much. Maybe, you know, sports, some other things that we're obsessed with that take us away from the Lord. But I think it's really good. It's just not fasting. It's not what, when we look at the Bible and say, I'm going to fast, what the Bible talks about in that sense is not that. It's consecrating yourself. It's abstaining from things that distract you, you know, that are stumbling blocks to your walk with the Lord. But it's not fasting. And so, whereas I wouldn't say, don't do that. That's absolutely good. Stop doing social media. Stop looking at your phone so much. Stop spending too much time on YouTube, whatever it is.
Right.
But at its core, it's not fasting.
Right. And I looked up the definition again. It's abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. And the word fast is a verb, which is also important. It's something you do. You know, it's not something that you just think about like, oh yeah, I'd like to fast, but I'm not actually going to do what's involved in it because it's too hard. So it's a verb. It's something you're doing as a sign that you are committing to God. And, you know, you can fast during times in your life. Maybe you have a medical issue. Maybe there's you're waiting on a decision from God. Maybe you're trying to make a life decision. Maybe you're, you know, looking to get married or move or get a new job. These are times when we commit to hearing from God. And it's easier to hear from God when you strip away the things that ensnare us from hearing God clearly. And one of those things is our desires for things such as food.
You know, one of the things that, Tony Evans talks about in his fasting series so much is that we have all these physical snares, all these things that, you know, give us trouble, that are temptations, and we all struggle with different ones. But in the end, there are all these physical things, and we keep wondering, why can't I beat this one? Why can't I fight this? Why, you know, if I have all these things in Christ, if I have all these gifts he's given me, and then why do I keep giving into this? And what he says is just that if we don't fast, which is our primary weapon against the flesh, it's literally denying ourselves the very core of what we need, food.
Right.
Like if we don't eat, we will die. It will take some time, but that's what keeps us going. It's what gives us energy, nutrients, vitamins. It's how we live. And so we're literally denying our body the very thing it needs to live willfully, to choose the Lord. And so it's a practice. We call it a spiritual practice because the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then the flesh is weaker. You get used to denying your flesh and seeking the Lord instead, purposefully putting the Lord above everything else in your life. And so if you want to resist, you know, pornography, if you want to resist these other things that people struggle with every day, if you have an addiction to a substance, it really breaking that stronghold in your life really begins with fasting.
Right. And, you know, once again, Jesus said, when you fast, so it is a spiritual discipline we're supposed to incorporate. Just like Jesus said, when you take communion, do this. When you fast, do this. And I think I want to point out, too, it's easy to make it known to everybody that we're in pain, you know, if you're going through fast. And it's like, oh, it's day three of the fast. You know, I can't stand this. And some of that is to get, you know, I think unnecessary sympathy from people. You know, Jesus said, when you go to pray, don't do it like the showy Pharisees that just need attention. And I think it goes under fasting too. You know, you're doing this for God, and it's not wrong that people know you're on a fast or that you even talk about it. But I think if you start to, you know, go through this and it's really hard for you, that's when you should be turning to God and not other people for encouragement and to push you through it. And there's a balance between that, you know, but I think it can get showy if we're constantly complaining instead of encouraging each other and moving forward. I even saw a shirt that had a little toggle button on off, and it said fasting mode on. And there's nothing, you know, wrong with that. But it also, when I saw that, it's like, that's just telling everybody that you're fasting. Everybody doesn't need to know. It's between you and God, and maybe some close mentors and people in your life. But I think we do have to be careful between, you know, being too showy about it and also comparing it with somebody else. Because when you compare your fast with somebody else, it can lead to two things. It can lead to pride. Oh, I'm doing a better fast than they are. Look at me. It can also lead to a feeling of condemnation. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not fasting enough. I'm not doing enough because look at them. And so I think when we talk about comparison in general, and especially with fasting, it's something we do have to be aware of.
You know, it's a difficult thing, especially if you don't fast very often, to not talk about it when you're fasting, because literally all you're thinking about is how miserable you are, not eating food. And, you know, if you do it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, you really get like the full experience of how difficult fasting is. You know, day two, day three, you get those headaches and your muscles start aching really bad, and maybe you can't even sleep very well.
Yep.
And it's like when a kid gets a new toy. It's like all they can do is just talk about it and share it with everybody because it's all they're thinking about. And so if fasting isn't a normal part of your life, then it really becomes this overwhelming thing in your mind. And then, especially in this fasting season, when other people are fasting, it just is a topic that comes up
constantly.
And also when you're fasting, it's so interesting how much of our culture is about food. Every commercial, every time you go anywhere to any event, like food is at the center. And so it really makes you notice those things. I think when I was on my 30-day fast, I think I cooked more and I watched more cooking shows than I ever have in my entire life. Even though I wasn't going to eat any of it, I still was like thinking about food. And I was like, oh, I'll make this for my family, and I'd cook it. And people, isn't that miserable? I was like, no. I mean, it's just food was even more at the forefront of my mind because I couldn't have it.
Yeah. And I think too, when you fail in fasting, and I failed before, you know, you get these big lofty goals and then you don't achieve them because, well, we're human, and fasting has been called a spiritual muscle that we have to work on. And so I think, you know, you have to give yourself grace, because when you fast, it's to give God glory and honor. But it might be something where you will fail. You will give in a moment. You will try to do 7 days, but only be able to do four. And I think, you know, we have to be able to give ourselves grace for that kind of stuff. You know, a small example was I was fasting one time last year, and I ate a piece of candy in a candy dish in Sharon's office. And I just felt this wave of like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. But in the moment, I wasn't thinking. I just grabbed the candy, ate it like I would normally do. But then I felt all this guilt, instead of saying, what, you know, God knew my heart wasn't to break my fast, but I just did it out of habit. And so you move forward, right? There's no condemnation from God. If you mess up, you figure it out and move forward. Same thing if, like, you know, you're fasting, but then didn't realize you have like a birthday party to go to, or you have a coffee, you know, a dinner meeting with somebody. You know, there's things that come up that I think that we have to be flexible with, because the purpose of fasting is about our heart. And so if we're still giving it to God, still doing what we need to in the fast, there is room where we can give ourselves grace.
I think that one thing that's really good to do is before you start a fast, pray and ask God, like, how long do you want me to fast? Like, what do you want me to fast for? And the purpose is, Lord, I desire you. I desire to want what you want. I desire what you have for me. And so, Lord, show me, like, how long do you want me to fast? And what do you want me to fast in prayer for? And so just to go into the story of why I fasted for 30 days, because it wasn't my idea. And I never want to do that again. It was literally the most difficult thing that I've done in my entire life. And But the reason I did it is because we were on our pastor's retreat a couple years ago, and we were all studying fasting together, and we were praying, and I was praying to the Lord of how long he wanted me to fast, because I felt very convicted that he wanted me to fast. And I heard so clearly 30 days. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did you mean three? Like, did I miss here? And my first thought was to go to Google and like search if that was even possible, because I knew the stories in the Bible, but like Moses being in the presence of God for 40 days and fasting and Jesus fasting aren't really fair examples. One was in the presence of God, one is God. And those are the only two people that I had even heard of that had fasted that long. Now, when I looked online on Google, pretty much the resounding answer was like, you will die. I mean, if you're searching, you can go search it right now.
Well, that's also when you look at WebMD for anything. It's like, if you have anything, you're going to die.
100%. They're like, do not do this. There are so many things that can go wrong. And if you fast for maybe 7 days, make sure like you have a doctor monitoring you and all these different things. But then you start finding the people that have fasted for this long. There's a lot of people that fast for this long regularly. And we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that there was that guy that fasted for 382 days, which is ridiculous. And but the Lord, it was so clear, 30 days. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to start January 1st. And so I did it. And it was the most difficult thing I've ever done. And the only thing that got me through it was I literally had a mantra that at times I would just be like yelling in my car. I would say, I desire the Lord more than I desire food. Mm. And I would say that over and over and over. And so that's what got me through it. Now, if the Lord asks you to fast for 30 days, do it. I would recommend that you, if you're going to do a fast, fast for a day. Just fast for a 24-hour period. And if you really want to get the full like experience of a fast, fast for 3 days. And be specific with what you want, what you're praying for, what you desire. Even if it's just desiring to be closer to the Lord, to be in closer communion with Him, I would be very specific while you're on your fast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as we go through this and as you fast more and more, as it is a spiritual muscle, you grow, you're going to learn more about what you can and can't do. But like Joe said, no matter what, we need to be obedient to God. And so if He asks you to do something that is out of your comfort zone, with which He will always do if you're listening, then just be obedient. If God asks you to go through it, He'll see you through it as well. And so same thing with fasting. If this is like your first time fasting, don't give up. You can do it. Keep focusing and keeping your eyes on God, and then it'll be over. And then what do we do after fasting is over? The 30th will come, we'll be done as a church, and then, all right, I'm done until next January when the church is going to make us do it again. That's not the heart we need to have. The heart is, okay, this is for a season, for a purpose right now, but then how can I incorporate fasting as a spiritual discipline into my life? For me personally, last year I did it on Thursdays, just for breakfast and lunch every Thursday. For me, I need it to be a routine. I can't just say, well, I'll get to it, or I'll plan on doing it at some point here and there. I needed it to be on a specific day of the week, every week, for me personally. And so ask yourself, what does that look like for you? How do you incorporate fasting into your life? Maybe you do it on your Sabbath. Maybe you do it once a month, put it on the calendar, set a reminder. Because, without that, I think it's really hard to it doesn't just happen.
Yeah. And also, when there are things that come up in your life, difficult things, family issues, health issues, the first thing that we should always go to is prayer. But prayer and fasting. Like if there's a difficult decision, if there's a health issue you're struggling with, if there's a family member struggling with an addiction, and you want to really set aside time and pray, this is something that you can do as a husband and wife. Set aside a day, say, we're gonna fast this day and we're gonna pray for this. Like, Lord, we're really serious about this. We desire to hear from you. We desire for you to do this more than we desire food.
Exactly.
And so if you don't have anything like that, I'd say I would encourage you to set aside like once a month but ask the Lord what you should pray for. Ask the Lord, you know, what's on his heart. What does he want for you?
Yeah. It's no different than any spiritual discipline, reading your Bible, praying, you know, those things don't just happen. You have to be intentional about them. And through time, as you work it into your routines, it just becomes second nature, where it might be hard for you at first to read your Bible, even though you have a good intention and desire to do it, you have to actually put it on the calendar. And for me, it was, you know, waking up earlier in the morning and finding time to do it, where at nighttime I would just kind of doze off as I'm trying to read the Bible on my phone in bed. Not a good setup for success. And so we want to make sure we set ourselves up for success as we focus on spiritual disciplines, so we can be closer to God, hear from him clearer, and be able to go and do the call upon our life that he's put there. So any other thoughts on fasting, Pastor Joe?
Not the moment. I think that's all we got for today. So we want to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, let us know what else you'd like us to talk about, and thank you for joining Pastor Chat, Pastor Talk. We don't even know the name yet, but we'll figure it out.